Julia, and I'm going to be presenting on policy successes, challenges, and the implications of health and safety issues among Vietnamese immigrant nail salon workers. And I'd like to acknowledge Tu Quoc, who isn't able to be here today, who is from the Northern California Cancer Center, who has also helped to put this presentation together. So before I start, I wanted to give you an overview about what I'm going to be talking about today. I'll be telling you a little bit of background about Asian health services. What is the issue? What's the problem? What are the concerns? What are the characteristics of the nail salon worker population? What are some of the current efforts related to policy advocacy? And then what everybody in this room can do to help. So a little bit about Asian Health Services. We are a community health center that's located in Oakland, Chinatown. We began in 1974 as a one-room clinic that was staffed completely by volunteer students. And now we are serving 17,000 patients annually. And we focus on serving the Asian and Pacific Islander population. We have medical services, health education, insurance counseling, and client advocacy. And all this we do in 8 different Asian languages. Sorry, I keep going backwards. So how did AHS actually get involved with this issue around the health and safety of nail salon workers? Well, we first started doing outreach to the Vietnamese community about 10 to 15 years ago, and actually focused on really diabetes education, about the importance of health insurance, nutrition, and as we started doing outreach to the community, it was among a lot of nail salon workers, because that's where you would find a lot of Vietnamese community members. And what they were beginning to find was a lot of the workers have chronic asthma, a lot of respiratory illnesses, and chronic dermatitis. And so I think we began seeing over the years that this is a very, kind of chronic and long-term concern, and also hearing stories of different, cancer cases. So what is the problem? Well, what we do know is that nail care and personal care products contain chemicals that are known to be carcinogenic and reproductively harmful. So why is this? Well, cosmetic manufacturers are actually not regulated by any independent entity. It's not regulated by the FDA. Recently, Europe actually banned some of these chemicals known as phthalates, and the U.S. actually doesn't have a chemical policy that relates to this, and so even though manufacturers may have to reformulate for Europe, they don't need to do that for the United States. So why are there such great concerns? Well, what we know is that the California cosmetology industry is actually the largest professional licensee population in the nation. You know that nail salon shops in California have actually tripled in number in the last 2 decades. And we know that we see this around the nation. Nail salons are popping up everywhere. We know that approximately 3 to 4 out of every 5 workers of nail salons in California are actually owned and run by Vietnamese. And that 95% are women of reproductive age and generally are recent immigrants who are low income and limited English speaking. So some of the health concerns, cancer. We know that over long-term exposure to some of these chemicals in various animal studies that that there are known and suspected carcinogens. Birth defects. There are a lot of studies suggesting an association between a lot of the solvents that are used and colorants and gastroschisis. And then there's a lot of other studies that indicate other sort of adverse reproductive outcomes. Again, as I mentioned before, respiratory illnesses. A lot of workers have indicated problems around difficulty in breathing, skin irritations, a lot of chronic pains, carpal tunnel, back pain, and other sort of acute symptoms related to nose and throat irritations. This is a table of some of the chemicals of concern that are actually present in nail care products: benzene, benzoyl peroxide, dibutyl phthalate, formaldehyde, glycol ethers, methylene chloride, and toluene. So what are some of the workplace concerns? Well, we're concerned that there is insufficient ventilation within shops. There's improper handling of a lot of the products. Due to language barriers, there is a heavy concentration of the Vietnamese population, and training materials are not translated. We know that there is a multitude of chemical exposures at high levels. Again, occupational exposures is the highest source. There's ergonomic problems, and as a result, a lot of inadequate attention to the health symptoms leading to chronic illness. We're also concerned because we know that a lot of the recent immigrants, and even immigrants who've come here and been here for the past 15, 20 years, have had homeland exposures to chemical warfare from the Vietnam War. And many of them don't have the knowledge about the legal and healthcare systems here, and again, tend to be of very low socioeconomic status. We also know that a large proportion of the workers are not employees, but they actually rent a station from the shop. And so again, that there's a lack of worker-based health insurance, and they have very, very long hours. They usually work 8 to 10 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week. We know that there's a lack of job security. There is sort of an unstable nature of the nail salon shop business, high turnover rates of shops and ownership, and again, the lack of knowledge about safety and handling procedures for various chemical compounds that they work with on a daily basis. Some of the human rights and reproductive issues, well, we know that there are potential reproductive health impacts just from their daily chronic workplace exposures and unhealthy work conditions, and that's coupled with the lack of accountability for improving work conditions for this susceptible population. We know that there's a lack of perceived power to change their work conditions. We recently conducted a survey with the Northern California Cancer Center with about 200 workers, and some of the preliminary results show that a lot of the workers believe that the products actually have adverse health effects. Many view it as temporary work and would, you know, prefer not to stay in the business for long because of their health. And many have actually reported that when they get pregnant, they actually would leave work because they know that it is an unhealthy environment for their unborn child. So what we know about the nail salon business in California is that the cosmetology industry is the largest professional licensee population, with over 200,000 cosmetologists, and now with recent statistics, 94,000 manicurists. And again, we're starting to see this trend, dramatically in other states as well. So why are the workers drawn to this work? Well, it's inexpensive, it's readily available, and the short training that's required, they really don't need to be under the sort of certification process for very long. It doesn't require a high English proficiency. And because right now there's a lot of Vietnamese instructors within the schools, and now the test is in Vietnamese, you're seeing a great influx of the Vietnamese population to this industry. And also we see a growing number of Vietnamese-owned shops who are employed by other Vietnamese. And the other thing is very flexible work schedules. They can work in the late evening, they can work at night, and other sort of weekend shifts. So some of the small steps forward that have actually happened was the passage of the Safe Cosmetics Act, which requires manufacturers to disclose to the Department of Health Services in California if their products contain cancer-causing or reproductively harmful chemicals. And I put this picture here because when this law was passed, one sort of key aspect for Governor Schwarzenegger actually signing the bill was having some of these teen beauty queens come and talk to him and related to his daughter and talked about sort of the impacts of the products and their concerns around their health. This act was actually very challenging in terms of trying to get this passed. There was actually a bill that wanted to ban the chemicals, but this sort of sister bill was passed instead. And the reason being a lot of the cosmetic manufacturers are very powerful. They would always use sort of the small business argument. This is going to ruin people's livelihoods. And a lot of the legislators themselves weren't really familiar with this issue and wanted a lot of scientific evidence. And so simply stating that Europe has passed a similar legislative action really wasn't convincing enough. And at the time, a lot of the workers weren't aware of this issue either, so it was very tough to mobilize them to actually come up to Sacramento. Some of the current efforts that are happening at Asian Health Services, as I alluded earlier, we started a survey just to sort of characterize the workforce and understand what their concerns are. And now we're in the second phase of research with the Northern California Cancer Center, trying to determine if there is an actual increased incidence of cancer, particularly breast cancer, among workers. And we're doing that through sort of matching the breast cancer registries with licensee files and actually trying to move forward on an air ventilation study among workers. We've established a collaborative called the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative. We're trying to really integrate policy, research, and outreach and education. Again, a huge gap from the bill was, you know, educating a lot of the workers and owners about this issue, and so we want to make sure a lot of their concerns are being translated to the policy level and also along research levels. We're about 20 public health and environmental advocates and workers and owners and community-based organizations. And we really are trying to identify practices that benefit both the worker and small employers and really place accountability on the manufacturers of harmful products and not small businesses. And really working to sort of unify our collective voices and respective strengths to really leverage a greater power. And so what is it that all of us here in this room can do? I think first of all is spread the word among your friends and your family. There is a website here listed, and you can actually go yourself into this database and type in any of your products, Neutrogena or anything that you use and kind of determine if your products are of high concern, medium concern, or low concern based on how many carcinogenic chemicals are in those products. You can join the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative, and there is a national listserv. You can plug into this listserv and be part of this nationwide discussion. And then if you know of any community members or friends who are workers or owners themselves or cosmetology students or family members who are willing to share their story, please let us know. And participate in any kind of legislative visits and sign letters. I know there's still a great need for legislator and education and awareness because the cosmetic industry is a very, very powerful lobby. And so if you know of any congressmen or any local policymakers in your own states that are supportive of this issue, please let us know. Here's my contact information, and so if you have any questions, please feel free to ask me, and I've actually brought handouts here so you can take those with you. Thank you very much.